Welcome to the Prospect Pod, powered by the Weekly Streamer. You can follow the Weekly Streamer on Instagram and Twitter at Weekly Streamer. And here's your host,
What's going on, everybody? This is Richard Hake, aka The Hawk, with the Prospect Pod. We are back again for another episode this week, and should be a lot of fun. We're going to be talking about the Oakland Athletics and our Oakland Athletics system breakdown that we're doing this week. To take care of a little bit of housekeeping first, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at MustBeTheHawk. Constantly posting videos of live looks at a lot of these prospects that we're getting out and seeing here in the industry, as well as, you know, what we're seeing in Major League Baseball too. The crew that we have over here at the Weekly Streamer, they have eyes on all facets of the different sides of the baseball community that's going on right now. So get locked in there. It's on Instagram and Twitter at MustBeTheHawk and at the Weekly Streamer. You guys can follow that on there. You can also check us out on Facebook at the Weekly Streamer. We have, you know, a great community over there, 1,500 members in the private group page there. Everybody is very, very helpful. You can ask all sorts of different questions, get different opinions on trades or whatever you're working on in your fantasy leagues. And we do have, of course, the brand new Patreon page that just launched here in November. On there, you can be able to find the full system breakdowns like the one that we're doing today. 1 through 10 is all available on there, and then 11 through 30 is also available to you in rankings form. You can find all sorts of different things on there, from our prospect rankings, our first-year player draft rankings for 2022. I'm working on those right now. A little bit of updates with the prospect rankings is coming soon. We have our dynasty rankings on there as well. Of course, you do have access to our private Discord channel too, which gives you direct access to me and a lot of the other guys that are here at the Weekly Streamer. Great group that's on there. Good conversation. We're also starting to introduce a little bit more in the trading card community. So if you're, you know, into that kind of thing, $5 a month gets you all of that there on the Weekly Streamer Patreon page. All right, guys. So it's been a really busy week. You know, obviously, MLB is now up and going. Opening day is now through. Pretty awesome stuff, you know, watching Major League Baseball. But obviously, you're here to listen to the prospect side with the Prospect Pod, right? Well, your boy the Hawk has been out to at least two games to this point. I'm going to be trying to get out again here this upcoming Friday as well. So, first game I went out and saw, just to kind of give you guys a little bit of a rundown on what's going on here. First game I went out and saw was High A Greensboro versus High A Rome. Rome is the High A affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. Greensboro is the High A of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Got some live looks at Henry Davis. Really solid behind the plate. You know, he dealt with a lot of pitching changes. It didn't seem like the regular starter for the Grasshoppers were ready to go, so they had to swap that out. Just looked very icy in terms of the pitching for Greensboro. But Henry Davis handled it very well. With the bat, he didn't get many opportunities. He got plunked twice. He really just seemed like James McCann up there, to be honest with you, just getting hit left and right. If you're a Mets fan or watched the Mets game versus the Nationals, where the Nats were just, you know, hitting everybody. I didn't get necessarily a great look in terms of production out of him. I have some, you know, video recordings, but quite frankly, I'm hoping this Friday I'll be able to get some better live looks at Henry Davis. Michael Oscardo, he came over from the New York Yankees, I believe about a year or so ago. He ended up hitting a solo shot. I mean, it was absolutely gone right off the bat. It was a no-doubt home run for Greensboro. It was good to be able to see him. He seemed to make very good contact throughout the game, although that I believe that was his only hit for that game. And then Matt Gorski hitting a 3-run home run for Greensboro. That was pretty awesome. There was no doubt about that. It got everybody excited. Matt Gorski, you know, he was there with the team last year, and I was somewhat surprised to see him down in high A to start the year this year. But I believe, you know, with a little bit of play like this, he'll probably be joining everybody here at Double A Altoona in no time. Was able to kind of get a little bit of live looks at Hudson Head, which I've been really, really excited to be able to see for the last year. He was down in low A. Finally got the call up. First impressions, I mean, he definitely hit a growth spurt in terms of growing up, but I don't think he's put on a lot of muscle, or at least it didn't really look like it. Very tall, you know, somewhat lanky right now. But I think if he's able to put on a little bit more muscle, he'll be able to get to that, you know, power that we've seen or project for him going forward. So yeah, kind of underwhelming in the first start here. I'm hoping to be able to get a little bit better looks at him to be able to, you know, gauge what I see long-term out of him. But yeah, that's Hudson Head. And then Michael Signani, he was on the bench for this game, so I didn't get a chance to see him. I'm sorry, Sammy Signani, not Michael. Michael's up in Cincinnati, or with the Cincinnati Reds organization. Sammy Signani was on the bench. I'm hoping to see him, hopefully, maybe on Friday. Pitching wise, for Greensboro at least, I was excited because they brought in, and it seemed like it was going to be kind of a bullpen game anyway, just because everything kind of got, you know, awry. They brought in Jared Jones to pitch, which I was really excited to see. And I guess I don't know necessarily what happened. I think either the ump threw him out, and I wasn't quite sure if it was because of the glove that he was using. I know that I've heard in some of these leagues, you can't have like a certain tint of glove or something like that. I don't know. He got ejected before he even threw a pitch, which was odd. So, you know, took off towards the bullpen. And then they ended up calling in, you know, this little bit heavier set type of guy. And I was looking at him. I was like, I wonder who this is. He looked a lot like Johnny Cueto. And I looked and I was like, oh, my gosh, this is Eddie Yean. For those of you who don't know Eddie Yean, he came over, I believe, in the Nationals trade. Yeah, man. I mean, just I honestly thought I was looking at a carbon copy of Johnny Cueto there with Eddie Yean. I don't know if he just didn't get warmed up enough, but he was extremely erratic all over the zone. You know, it just didn't look all that great, to be honest with you. I'm hoping to maybe see him again at some point. I know Nick Garcia is in Greensboro. Didn't see him yet, but for Rome, there wasn't a ton in terms of the guys that were down there. A lot of their talent, like Michael Harris that we saw last year, you know, already kind of moved back, you know, up to Double A at this point. So the ones that I was able to see Vaughn Grisham, which, oh my gosh, man, he is just like shot up. You know, I mean, he just looks like he's, you know, physically developed quite a bit. I mean, they list him here as 6'3", you know, 180. I mean, I guess that's about right. But, you know, full of swag out there. I mean, he was, you know, talking to everybody. You know, got plunked, I think, once. And, you know, a couple ground outs. I think he ended up getting a base hit as well so far on the year. I mean, he's slashing 278. 350, 333. I think this is going to be a big year for Vaughn Grisham, and I think that he could really, you know, push up a lot of these rankings. I know with Pipeline, they already got him at number 7. I've moved him up my rankings quite a bit because I did like what I saw. I just want to be able to see a little bit more of him before I kind of go all in, you know? The pitcher for the Rome Braves was Dylan Dodd, and he's a left-handed pitcher. And I'll be honest with you, he went 4 1/3. He actually looked really good. He got touched up with the Escoto home run. That kind of ended his night. But, I mean, he gave up 4 hits and 4 1/3, 7 strikeouts, 2 walks. I mean, he looked really good. He looked really dominant. He was hitting the zones. You know, the fastball was really kind of pumping in there. You know, typically, I think he ends up sitting. around 90, 93. I saw him hit 95 a couple times. And the breaking pitches just look great. I mean, he had a solid curveball. I think that it's at least average, could be a little bit more. The changeup, I mean, the changeup was on point, and it looked like he was controlling the zone very well. The two walks I think he had, I don't know. I wouldn't put too much stock into all that. But, yeah, I mean, all in all, I mean, I was pretty impressed with what I saw, you know, there. So we'll see. You know, kind of going forward, you know, what ends up coming through Greensboro in that regard. But the day after that, I ended up heading up to Salem, Virginia. I wanted to go check out Marcella Mayer and Blaze Jordan. So grabbed my girls, we went up there, and it was pretty awesome, to be honest with you. We were able to talk with catcher Nathan Hickey for, I don't know, a good 10, 15 minutes or so. That guy was really, really cool, very knowledgeable. You know, he ended up catching Wilkman Gonzalez the day before. The game was kind of, I think it was postponed until the next day. So I was able to talk to him for a little while, really down-to-earth guy. I really enjoyed talking with him. But then I was able to talk with and meet Marcella Mayer, who... very impressive, both him and Blaze Jordan. They look like they are, you know, already full-fledged, like, men, you know? Like, and I know that sounds kind of odd, but, I mean, they're on the younger side, 19, 20 years old, 21 years old, you know? So they look every bit the part, you know, filled out. I mean, Blaze Jordan was absolutely jacked. But Marcella Mayer, I mean, he was all business, you know, not a whole lot in terms of conversation-wise, you know, just really trying to stay true to what he's been going, working with since coming into the Red Sox organization. You know, a left-handed hitter, he looked, you know, really comfortable, you know, in the box, taking pitches. He drove a pitch that he ended up getting a single in the book for, but it was a fielder's choice. He ended up getting the second. I think it scored one RBI. But yeah, I mean, he got a couple, you know, base hits. He just looked very solid. He looked in control the whole time. I'll be honest with you, I really don't, unless they really just want to leave him there at low A, I think that there's a real possibility he could be joining Nick York in high A, you know, by mid-season, maybe a little bit later. I mean, he looks ready to me. He looks really good. And the competition that he was going against was just not enough to kind of keep him back. And even defensively, he was making fantastic plays at shortstop. Blaze Jordan, I mean, effortless power, man. You know, he swings the bat through the zone. The contact ability is actually a little bit better than what I thought. I know a lot of us was kind of concerned on whether or not he'd make enough contact. I don't think that that's going to be an issue. There will be swing and miss, no doubt. But the OBP is definitely going to be there for Blaze Jordan. You know, he drew one or two walks, got hit once, and then he crushed a home run and hit a flyout. I mean, it was amazing. And the flyout almost went out too. There was some crazy wind going on as well in Salem. So that was pretty interesting. Got some good looks at Brainerd Bochy. He looked really good for Boston. And then on the Hillcats side, this is Cleveland's organization, right? Got to see Isaiah Green, which, you know, he didn't do a whole lot in the game, but he worked counts. Get called out a couple times because he was a little bit too patient, but a level swing on what he was able to do. He did ground out a couple times, very level swing. This is going to be like a gap to gap type of hitter. I don't think he's going to develop into a lot of home runs, maybe 10, 15 at the major league level when he gets there. He's probably going to be a little bit more of a threat on the bases, but this is just going to be an extremely solid baseball player, great defender. Not going to surprise me, you know, if he kind of follows that Juan Lagares type of mold from the Mets like years ago, whenever they actually paid him. So I liked Isaiah Green. I think that that's very sharp. I also saw Carson Tucker. And that kid can swing a bat, man. He swings it with everything he's got. And the swing looks pretty. it just gets loopy from what I was seeing. I mean, it just looks like he gets a little low with his shoulder, and that will lead to strikeouts. He had several of them, but he also had several at bats in which that he worked like 9-10 pitch at bats because he was just fouling everything off. I mean, everything. He was wearing down that pitcher. I really like, you know, Carson Tucker. I think that he could be very, very good, very solid, you know, in the outfield for Cleveland long term. He's just going to take a lot of time to develop. It won't surprise me if him and Isaiah Green stay in low A probably the majority of this year. Milan Tolentino, I was able to see him. He was smooth at shortstop. Very solid bat to ball skills. He had a single and a double in this game. Just a very good approach at the plate. Solid, you know, bat speed, quick hands. I think Milan Tolentino is one of these guys that are very underrated at this point in his minor league career. And for a lot of you fantasy owners that are in these deeper, you know, 30-man dynasty leagues, I think that this is a strong, you know, candidate for you to be able to go after. I know Country Biscuit, shout out to the Biscuit, and myself were very big on Jose Tania with the Guardians. And, you know, now he's really starting to get the pub that I felt like he deserved a while back. So it was really good to see. I think Milan Tolentino is going to be this way. He's also a Biscuit favorite. So, you know, if you guys support your Biscuit and your Hawk, go on out there and acquire him. All right. And I wanted to try this. We'll see if this works or not. I was able to get the home run live look of Blaze Jordan. And I mean, he just absolutely annihilated the baseball. I'm going to try and play you, you know, the video and have you hear the, you know, crack of the bat just to kind of give you an idea of what kind of power this guy has. I mean, it was absolutely echoing throughout the whole ballpark. Let's see. Yeah, and you can see. If you can hear this, you know, obviously you just cracked the bat, you know, round the bases now. Wind's blowing out to the left. I mean, just absolutely impressive power, you know, from Blaze Jordan there. And you guys can check out all these live looks that I was able to get. If you follow me on Instagram and Twitter, I'm also uploading these onto the Weekly Streamer YouTube page. If you are a member of our Patreon, if you go to our rankings, our prospect rankings, I put them to the side of where, you know, the player is, the link to YouTube. So it'll take you directly there. I try to make it as easy for you guys as possible, and hopefully that does help. So, yeah, check that out. I think you guys are going to really like that. Kind of moving on now back into the Oakland Athletics system breakdown. This was the system that I did write up. You know, here at the Weekly Streamer, and it's changed quite a bit, right? I'm actually kind of glad that we held off to this point. We kind of got a little off in terms of the alphabetical order of these teams, but quite frankly, this couldn't have worked out any better because, you know, the system really just got a major boost based on the trades that the Oakland Athletics did here recently, you know, trading Matt Olson to the Braves. I mean, a majority of these prospects are coming from the Braves. They're coming from Toronto, you know, with Matt Chapman leaving. So yes, the Oakland Athletics looks a lot different. And if you're an Oakland Athletics fan, you know, I'm really sorry, you know, that everything kind of changed, but you know, your future is looking pretty bright. And I've heard some, you know, experts in the industry saying, you know, that these guys might be like everyday, more like MLB regular players, not as much fantasy based. And I do agree more or less to an extent. You know, we'll get through, you know, some of these guys and I'll kind of talk about their fantasy values there, but, make no mistake, there is going to be some pretty good targets here. You know, I remember, watching the Oakland Athletics whenever they did this retool several years back, maybe 2014, maybe a little bit before then. And, you know, watching Matt Chapman kind of come through the ranks, you know, I mean, he really exceeded expectations whenever he ended up coming up. Matt Olson, I mean, just, you know, he built on that contact ability. If you watch some of these rebuilding clubs. We just got done talking about the Pittsburgh Pirates. If you watch the rebuilding clubs, you can get ahead of the curve in terms of grabbing and nabbing these guys before they get to these high price tags that you're paying for Matt Chapman and Matt Olson. You know, get in on the bottom floor. That's what we're about here at the Prospect Pod. And, you know, this is a good system to be able to look at. We're going to talk about some guys that you're probably really going to like. I'm going to get into it right now. The first one that I have here on my system breakdown, I don't think it should come as any surprise to anybody. It's Mr. Tyler Soderstrom, catcher, 20 years old, 6'2", 200 pounds. He bats left-handed, was taken in the first round of the 2020 draft with the 26th overall pick for Oakland. This was one of the really sneaky grabs I got in a lot of the drafts in 2020 because, you know, fantasy owners, you know, don't like catchers. And if you listen to the Biscuit on the Full Count, he will say over and over again, piss on catchers. I'm not to that extent, but I believed that the hit tool could come as he continued to develop. He could build some more power. And he hasn't disappointed, didn't disappoint me this year. And he's continuing to fill out at 6'2", 200 pounds. He's definitely putting on good muscle. That's what you love to see. Above average to plus hit tool. He's going to get to plus power, no doubt in my mind about that. The fielding is suspect at catcher, though he is getting better at it. The arm is very, very strong. I don't believe that he's going to stay a catcher, but... And this is one of my main reasons for drafting him. But I believe that if you, you know, get him in a lot of these minor league, you know, drafts, you're going to hold that catcher's eligibility for a while until, you know, they end up taking it off, depending on how quickly they move him. Granted, he is young, 20 years old. You know, he won't be 21 until November. You know, he could get some, you know, catcher eligibility, you know, whenever he gets the call to the major leagues. We saw this with Dalton Barshow. And it makes him so valuable in fantasy purposes, you know? So Tyler Soderstrom, you know, he ended up starting the year in low A. He only played in low A for the 2021 season. It's his first taste of pro ball. A 306 average, 390 OBP, a 568 slug with 20 doubles, one triple, 12 home runs, and two stolen bases. So you guys know that I love seeing the doubles high like that. You know, 20 doubles in 57 games played. Are you kidding me? That's fantastic. That's gap-to-gap power. That's showing an ability to be able to continue to get to more power, okay? 12 home runs in 57 games, I'm down with that. But I think that there's a lot more to get into and tap into. So, you know, Tyler Soderstrom, he was assigned to high A for the 2022 season. I mean, he's only played four games. There's really not much to go off of here right now. But this is a guy that has now become, in large ways, in fantasy circles, somewhat untouchable because we don't know if he's going to move to third, if he's going to move to first. You know, it'll just kind of depend on what the Oakland Athletics need. And we're going to get into a prospect in a little bit here that, you know, could help out in that infield situation. I really think Soderstrom's probably going to be a first baseman long term. I think that would be a very solid fit for him. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I'm not trying to throw out, you know, Matt Olson type of comps. I don't think he'll get to that kind of power, but it won't be far off. I think if he can get to 30, 35 home runs, you know, annually, maybe touch a 40 homer season, maybe. That's kind of hard to predict, right? But left-handed bat in the Oakland Coliseum, I think I'll take that all day long. Twice on Sunday. Second prospect that I have here, this guy ended up coming over in the trade for Matt Olson. One of the main pieces was Shea Langeliers. Now, I talked about him earlier this year in the Atlanta Braves podcast, so I don't need to really go too deep into, you know, what Shea Langeliers is as a prospect. I mean, really, he's going to be a very solid defensive catcher. Probably plus defensive catching abilities, but is still very solid with the bat. He did play in two levels last year in AA and AAA, struggled a little bit in AAA whenever he got the call up there. But, you know, average OBP skills, you know, 339 OBP, not great, not bad. You know, we can live with that. You know, 15 doubles, 22 home runs. He did show off the pop there in Double A, which is what you like to see. You know, I think that this is just going to be a very solid, you know, catcher for you if you end up getting him, you know, late in some of your drafts, if you're doing redraft leagues. He's more than likely going to be up in Oakland in very short order. I mean, I know that Sean Murphy is there, but, you know, I don't know. This could be the second catching option to him. They could move Sean Murphy if they feel like they can get a good return by the trade deadline. And Lingoliers might, you know, hang low in the minor leagues to that point. Right now, he's in AAA Las Vegas, 316 average, 350 OBP. 789 slugging. You already see him hitting 3 home runs. You know, it looks good so far, you know, but we also know that Las Vegas is also a homer friendly ballpark in a lot of different ways, a good hitting area. But, you know, you can't just discount that. He's, you know, clearly being able to see the ball very well. Shea Lingoliers, you know, whereas with the Atlanta Braves podcast, I was kind of confused on where he was going to end up being. I would probably inquire with the Shea Lingoliers owner because I think you're going to get production this year out of him. You know, I would inquire on it and see, you know, what the cost to acquire is, because, you know, if it's, you know, you're getting that catcher discount in deep dynasty leagues, then, you know, hey, I'll take that all day long. So, Shea Lingoliers, our second prospect that is listed here. We're going to move on to number 3. Now, I'm probably going to be the high guy on Ryan Cusick. And I have him here as my number 3 prospect in the Oakland Athletics system. 22 years old, 6'6", 235 pounds. He was taken in the first round of the 2021 draft by the Atlanta Braves. This is a guy that just has an absolutely electric fastball. I watched him at Wake Forest. We talked about him with Chris Clegg. You know, the slider looks really good. The curveball's really made some advancements last year whenever he was in low A. The changeup looks good. It needs to develop a little bit more if he's going to remain a starter long term, but I believe that he'll be able to do that. The control has always been something that, you know, will somewhat evade him. But in his short amount of time, the 16 and a third innings in 2021 at low A Augusta, 16 and a third innings, 34 strikeouts, only 4 walks. Okay. You know, 16 and a third, 4 walks, that's still pretty high. I'll take it though. You know, I'll take it. If he's striking out guys at this kind of clip, you know, held a 2.76 ERA. I mean, he gave up 1 long ball. So that'll kind of, you know, affect you a little bit there. But Ryan Cusick is a guy that I really do like. I think that, and I hate putting this out there, especially with the team that he's on now, but he reminds me of the upside that I could see in AJ Puck, although AJ Puck has now really just become an exclusive reliever for the most part. I think that he could still stick as a starter. Ryan Cusick. And I think that this could be a very interesting organization to be able to have him with. You know, they've been able to do a lot with Montas. They've been able to do a lot with Bassett while he was there, you know, and Manaea has been able to make a very, very solid career out of what he's been able to do there. Now, not a ton of flamethrowers. Puck was kind of, you know, the first, but dealt with a lot of injuries. So I still like Ryan Cusick there. I'm going out and acquiring him wherever I can because I just believe that the skill set is very good, and I think that he could end up being, you know, a very solid contributor long term. Moving on to number 4 here, it's going to be Joey Estes. All right. Once again, another Atlanta Braves prospect that we're talking about here. I did touch on him with the Atlanta Braves podcast, but once again, want to bring this up because now he is in Oakland. He looks like he's going to be a starter long term. He is young, controllable. I like Joey Estes a lot. And in my next rankings update, I will probably be pretty aggressive with where I'm going to end up putting him. So Joey Estes, 20 years old, 6'2", 190 pounds. He's a right-handed pitcher. Taken 16th overall, or in the 16th round, 487th overall by Atlanta in the 2019 draft class. Okay. He has a above average to plus fastball, solid slider, you know, and a changeup that's still developing, which most high school talents do, but he's been able to kind of, you know, push that forward in his first full, you know, season of competition. He did pitch a little bit in 19, but not enough to really, you know, get a good grasp on. Low A Augusta is where he was last year, 99 innings pitched, 127 strikeouts, a 184 average against. Yes, please. Batters can't hit him. Batters can't hit him, and I like this. 20 starts, a 2.91 ERA. You know, I think he's strong. You know, the command might get a little out of control sometimes, but 29 walks in 99 innings, I mean, I'm okay with it. I'm all right. I mean, as long as he's striking out guys at a clip like that, I will take that all day long. I think Joey Estes, you know, will start the year here in high A. And he should be able to pick up where he left off. I really think this is going to be a prospect that's going to be in multiple top 100 lists. If there's not already, he's going to more than likely be in mine. And I think that you guys can still acquire him because he's 20 years old. I mean, there's still more development to have here, but between him and, you know, Ryan Cusick, I think that these are guys that are going to be your 1-2 punch up here at the top of the Oakland Athletics, you know, rotation. And we're still going to talk about a couple other guys that I think that could crack that rotation in the future. But I'm all in. I'm all in on Joey Estes. I believe that you guys should be too. Please go out there, run, you know, don't walk. Number five is going to be Nick Allen. He is a shortstop for Oakland. Let's take a look and see here. At 23 years old, 5'8", 166 pounds. He was taken in the third round in 2017 by Oakland, 81st overall. Nick Allen, to me, reminds me a lot of Nico Horner in a lot of different ways. He is a very, you know, solid contact, you know, hitter. He's been able to do that in 2019 and 2021. You know, 2021, he ended up slashing 288, 346, 403. This was over two different levels. That was double A and triple A. You know, the numbers went down a little bit whenever he got to triple A, but already this season, he's already, you know, tearing the cover off the ball. But in 2021, he ended up having 17 doubles, six home runs, 12 stolen bases. He had two triples as well. Like I said, not a whole lot of power here. You're going to be probably lucky if he gets you to 10. Like I said, really similar to Nico Horner. You know, not to the extent of Nick Madrigal, but just a very solid infield prospect. He can play short, he can play second, you know, a good bat-to-ball skills. You know, Nick Allen kind of checks off all the boxes for me in that regard. Now, to start the year, so far in AAA, he has a 417 average, 462 OBP, and a 583 slug. Has already hit one home run, stole two bases. So he's getting off to a really good start, Nick Allen is. And I don't think it'll be long for him before he ends up making his major league debut with the Oakland Athletics. Probably, I'd say by mid-year, by the latest. If not, you know, if somebody goes down with an injury, I think that this could be the first guy that they end up calling up from that point. All right, everybody. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to take a break here. Whenever we get back, we will be diving into 6 through 10 of the Oakland Athletics System Breakdown. Stay with us.
Stay tuned to the Prospect Pod. We will return in a moment.
What's going on? This is Ryan Antkowiak, host of the Full Count Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Do me a favor, pull out your wallet or money clip or phone case. Give it a good inspection. If it's anything like mine, it's pretty meh. I mean, let's be honest, it's a wallet. Well, what if there was a product that blended something you love with something you need? Turns out there is. LineDriveOutfitters.com takes real baseball mitts and turns them into wallets, billfolds, money clips, clutches, and other accessories. And get this, you can get your favorite team's logo engraved or stitched right into the leather. Now, I don't know about you, but every time I grab my own mitt, I get this rush of nostalgia, and it brings me right back to Little League. So let's face it, we all need to carry around our credit cards, cash, IDs, gift cards, whatever. So you might as well carry it around in something that makes you think about the thing we all love, baseball. These babies are hand-stitched, handmade, and made right here in America. Whether you're looking for a unique gift or a way to show off your love of the game, LineDriveOutfitters.com offers a wide variety of products for men and women. That's not all. They will literally make your wallet out of your own mitt. How cool is that? Do me a favor, check out LineDriveOutfitters.com or check them out on Instagram or Facebook at LineDriveOutfitters. They could be, they might be, they are a home run.
And welcome back, everybody. All right, we're going to go ahead and we're going to dive back into the system breakdown here with the Oakland Athletics. As we went over 1 through 5, you can also see, you know, 1 through 5 on Facebook, free of charge. You know, that's the breakdown that I ended up writing up here. Now, you know, with this 6 through 10, if you want to be able to see the full breakdown, 1 through 10 and 11 through 30, you can find that on the Weekly Streamer Patreon page. That's Weekly Streamer. It's patreon.com/weeklystreamernetwork. Go there. $5 a month gets you all of that awesome content. And we appreciate you. You support what we do. You let us do what we love. And thank you for doing that. Going on to number 6 here, JT Ginn is going to be the prospect that we're going to be talking about. And this kind of breaks my heart because I am a Mets fan, as most of you know. And JT Ginn, I was extremely excited to see him come to the Mets. Literally just talked about him with the Mets system breakdown. And this was one of the, you know, I think we only have maybe one prospect now, maybe two prospects now that were from the Brody Van Wagenen, you know, era for Mets, you know, for 2 years, I think is what it is. Now all of our 2020 draft picks have been traded. Right. Isn't that amazing? A whole draft class in terms of like what they were going for. Top 3 picks gone. Mets will Mets, but I can't be upset because they did trade JT Ginn for Chris Bassett. And of course, Bassett, very, very solid pitcher. He's going to do great for the Mets, I'm sure. Already looks good. But JT Ginn, let's talk about him. 22 years old. He is 6'2", 200 pounds. Once again, he was taken in the 2020 MLB draft by the New York Mets. This is a pitcher that had Tommy John surgery. His draft stock really fell as a result of that. Mets were able to, you know, sign him, bring him in, a former first round draft pick of the Dodgers, you know. So there's a lot of upside here. He is a California kid, I believe, because he did pitch. Let's see. No, he's actually a Mississippi native. But anyway, so. JT Ginn, he has got a solid fastball, could touch above average at times. The slider has got a ton of RPM movement on there, and really induces a lot of weak contact as well as swing and miss abilities. The changeup looks very solid. JT Ginn was a control pitcher, and you know he got a little bit of work in last year, but the control will continue to get better, you know, as he continues to recover from Tommy John surgery. You know, JT Ginn will start the year in Double-A, but last year he did play in Low-A and High-A exclusively. 18 starts, 92 innings pitched, 81 strikeouts, a .223 average against. And like I said, the walks were a little bit high with 22. I venture to guess that those will be coming down, you know, as he gets more acclimated to the system in which that he's playing in. But like I said, you know, he's already in Double-A, had his first start, 3 2/3 innings, 7 strikeouts, a 154 average against. You love seeing that. They're going to leave him in as a starter, which I love seeing that too. JT Ginn, to me, kind of feels like an SP3 type for major leagues, as well as, you know, a lower end, you know, asset to be able to have in your dynasty leagues. I think he's an SP4, SP5 in fantasy, but I really like him. He induces a ton of ground ball contact last year. Reminiscent of Marcus Stroman, you know, in the ability to be able to put the ball on the ground, let his defenders pick him up and go from there. And I think that Oakland will actually have a very solid, you know, infield for him to be able to continue to thrive. So JT Ginn, he is my number 6 prospect here in the Oakland Athletics system breakdown. Moving on to number 7. All right, tell me if you've heard this name before, Max Muncy. This is the second coming of Max Muncy, and it's odd because they both have the same birthday, just different years, of course. Max Muncy, 19 years old, 6'1", 180 pounds. He was taken in the first round, 25th overall in the 2021 draft by the Oakland Athletics. This is a guy that they are extremely excited about, a shortstop. You know, he has a solid hit tool. They believe that could, you know, use a little bit of work, get a little bit better as he continues to mature. The power he's going to be able to grow into. They believe that there's still a lot to be able to put on that 6'1" frame, and he could still grow a couple inches as well. The results were not so great. I mean, he ended up starting in rookie ball last year, batted 129, 206 OBP, a 129 slug. Nothing great there. No home runs, one stolen base, but the Oakland Athletics are very bullish on him, and they believe that he could be able to, you know, progress as he continues to fill out. Already this year at low A, he's already hit the ground running in 4 games, a 375 average, 444 OBP, 875. It's really making it seem like that they're right there. 2 home runs, 2 doubles. Looks good to this point. I mean, he strikes out a little bit. But, you know, so far so good for Max Muncy as he starts his low A ventures there in the Oakland Athletics system. It's kind of TBD to see exactly what he is long term. You know, I think that he could stick it short. He could go to second. I think if he gets to that power, a second base profile would be pretty good for him, I believe. But it's kind of hard right now to be able to project what he could be able to do. Maybe a 2025 homer bat, maybe more. I don't know. But I would be excited to be able to watch a little bit of Max Muncy. Unfortunately, they are all the minor league affiliates for the Oakland Athletics is on the other side of the country. So I'm not really going to be able to see much of Max Muncy in terms of live looks. Going to have to kind of rely on either some of you, the streamers, if you're out in that area. And or the video footage that I'm able to see to be able to determine what I see from Max Muncy long term. So number 7 prospect right there, Max Muncy, the second coming of Max Muncy. Let's see if this goes better than the first time, right? Moving on, number 8 here is going to be Gunnar Hoglund. Okay, Gunnar Hoglund is 22 years old, 6'4", 220 pounds. He was taken in the first round of the 2021 draft, 19th overall by the Toronto Blue Jays. And this is a pitcher that I am, and I wrote this in my write-up as well. I'm extremely excited to be able to see him in his pro debut. This is a guy that at Old Miss, he was, you know, very dominant. He looked to be one of the best college pitchers to be going into this draft, besides, you know, obviously Leiter, you know, and Kumar Rocker really kind of, you know, stood out, of course. But Gunnar Hoglund was right there with him. Probably, you know, third or fourth best option with Jaden Hill there as well, you know, going into this draft class. And then, unfortunately, both Hoglund and Hill, for that matter, went down with Tommy John to finish out their college careers. You know, the Blue Jays liked what they saw to be able to take him, you know, when they did in the first round. And I thought it was a very solid pick, at 6'4", 220 pounds, definitely a starter's build. a right-handed arm, above average fastball. I mean, this guy really kind of sits, you know, in that 90 to 93 range. He can reach back a little bit and get 95 here and there, but that's really kind of going to be where he's sitting. Not a whole bunch of velocity there, but good movement up in the zone. He has a very tight, hard slider that is around 85 to 86 miles an hour. It can tick up a little bit more, and I think it will as he continues to develop. And the changeup that he has is very, very solid. Very solid. I think it's continuing to progress. It'll probably take a little bit more time to do that with the control as he's recovering from Tommy John. He does feature a curveball too, but I think it becomes a little bit loopy and can be hit at times. So I want to see what he's able to do with that. If he could take the RPMs and kind of, you know, get a little bit more out of it to get bigger break, I think that that could work out better for him. But Hoglund was a control artist. That's what we kind of expected out of him, you know, while he was there at Ole Miss. And for the most part, that's what he did. And I'm hoping to see that, you know, as he moves forward. You know, like I said, with JT Ginn, these two are very similar in a lot of different ways. I think Hoglund, you know, might have a little bit higher upside than JT Ginn in terms of being a fantasy relevant pitcher. You know, SP3 is probably going to be around where he is, but I like that. And whenever you have, you know, Cusick and Estes and Hoglund and Ginn, I mean, these are guys that are really solid contributors, man. I like where that goes, you know, long term. Now, Hoglund to this point, he will start the year in low A, but has yet to pitch as he's still recovering from Tommy John. I'd venture to guess we'll probably see him in the next month. 2 months, maybe by mid-year he'll start pitching. So just kind of keep an eye out for that. Be patient. You know, this is probably going to take a little bit of time for him to kind of come around and, you know, be the best that he can be there, you know. So just keep an eye out there. Gunnar Hoglund coming in at number 8 for me here. All right, now number 9 is going to be Pedro Pineda, 18 years old, 6'1", 170 pounds. He was signed in the international class of 2021 by the Oakland Athletics. And this is a guy that I think can develop into, you know, good power production, solid hit tool, you know, plus arm, good defender in the outfield. I think that there's a lot of projection here for Pineda. You know, he ended up playing in the DSL and rookie complex ball for the Athletics last year in 2021 with a 237 average, 368 OBP, 361 slug. I love seeing the OBP numbers there, especially early. Shows that he does have some plate discipline, and it showed as he was able to take a walk. He seems to be very selective at the plate and seems to make solid contact whenever he does make contact with the ball. Three doubles, 3 triples, 1 home run, 6 stolen bases, all that in 33 games. I think that there's a lot to like here. I think that the baseline numbers when you're looking at the average is not all that great. But I think that there's a lot more power than what, you know, some outlets are claiming for him right now. In a fantasy format, you know, these deeper dynasty leagues, the 30-man leagues, this is a great target for you because you just kind of set them in your lineup or in your minors, and you just let him develop. I think that he could be, you know, a 25, 30 homer plus bat in the outfield, you know, with, you know, 260, 270 average, high, you know, 350s, 360, 70s OBP, and chip in a couple stolen bases too, you know. So I think that there's a lot to like here. He's starting the year in low A. So we'll continue to see what he does. As of right now, the hit tool hasn't really been there, but the OBP has still been extremely solid in the 4 games that he's played. So keep an eye on Pedro Pineda and see if you can maybe work him into some of your deals as the season kind of goes on. All right, guys, number 10. This might be really one of the steals in this system, to be honest with you. And that's going to be Zach Gioff. 22 years old, 6'3", 205 pounds. He was taken in last year's draft in 2021. And I really like what I've seen so far. He has a brother that's also at Virginia that's tearing the cover off the ball as well. A third base prospect that I think when Soderstrom goes to first, this is going to be your third baseman. This is going to be the long-term replacement for Matt Chapman. Mark my words. I really think that this is going to be who you're going to be seeing here. Zach Gelof in 2021, he played for three different teams, rookie ball, low A, and he even played three games for AAA and tore the cover off the ball in the three games that he was there. For the season in 2021, he had a 333 average, a 422 OBP, a 565 slug, with nine doubles, one triple, seven home runs, and then chipped in 13 stolen bases as well. This is a guy that I think that there is a lot more power output there for Gelof. I think that this could easily be a 25-plus homer bat as he continues to develop and see more pitching. To this point, in this year, he started out in Double A, so they did start him out there. He already has two home runs in four games, absolutely tearing the cover off the ball. 524 average, 565 OBP, and an 857 slug is where he's at right now. I am trying to inquire wherever I can on him to be able to see, you know, what it will take to be able to get him. Because right now I think that this is where you need to, you know, kind of be a little proactive. If he ends up absolutely tearing the cover off the ball, which is what he's already starting to do this year, he's going to become basically untouchable, and it will not surprise me if he becomes the top 100 prospect by year's end. So, you know, to me, I think that this is a great opportunity to go and buy him before his price just gets ridiculous, okay? So Zach Gelof, that's where I have at number 10. All right, guys, well, let's go back over this just to, you know, see everything that we have here in the Oakland Athletics system breakdown. Number one is Tyler Soderstrom. Number two, Shea Langeliers. Three is Ryan Cusick. Number four is Joey Estes. Number five is Nick Allen. JT Ginn is number six. Number seven is Max Muncy. Number eight, Gunnar Hoglund. Number nine, Pedro Pineda. Number 10, Zach Gelof is going to be the guys that round out this system breakdown. I'm going to give you one, because we talked about a lot of different prospects for live looks earlier in the episode. So I'm going to give you one guy that I want you guys to be able to go and take a look at, and, you know, inquire and see what you can do. It's going to be Lawrence Butler, first baseman, outfielder. This is a guy in 2021 that ascended up over two different levels in low A and high A, a 273 average, 367 OBP, a 504 slug. He had 24 doubles, 4 triples, 19 home runs, and 29 stolen bases. He was extremely solid in 2021. Now, the stolen bases, this was done at low A. You guys have heard me wax poetically about this type of stuff. You know, with the look-over rule that's over there, he did steal a lot of extra bases. 26 of the 29 were done there. So just keep that in mind. He probably won't steal a ton of bases going forward, but if he can give you maybe 10, I think you'll be happy with that. This is a guy that I think that you can get in throw-ins for a lot of different deals. There is a lot of power to like here, you know, and I think as he continues to develop, you know, in his 6'3", 210 frame, he's only 21 years old. I think that this could be a guy that could really, you know, boost up your minor league system, you know, for the year upcoming. All right, guys, that kind of wraps that up. Once again, subscribe to the podcast, rate and review. It really does help us get our name out there into the industry. And of course, if you're subscribed to the podcast with the Weekly Streamer Network here on any of your podcasting platforms, you can find us literally everywhere. You're already probably listening to the Full Count Pod. And if you're not, I don't know what you're doing, because it's a fantastic podcast for you to listen to. Ryan and Kobiak is the host, and Hunter Rakes, the Country Biscuit, is one of the main guys that are on there, always giving hot takes, spreading the gravy is what they end up saying. Make sure that you guys go check that out. You know, like I said, we're all over the place. You look at us on YouTube, you know, the Weekly Streamer, Instagram, Twitter. Once again, at Must Be the Hawk is what you can do to follow me. You're going to see a lot more live looks coming on Twitter and Instagram in real time. Whenever I'm watching these games, I try to do them in game. If not, I'll try to upload them whenever I get home. But if you're trying to kind of stay ahead of everybody else, I would highly recommend that you subscribe or follow me on Instagram and Twitter, because that'll be the best place for you to get that information quickly. Okay. Weekly Streamer Patreon page, you'll be able to find everything that we talked about today, plus so much more. It's really an awesome tool, guys. And we do appreciate all the help that you guys give us in terms of supporting us on there, because we're a bunch of dads that do this work for you guys to be able to try to help you get ahead in your leagues. We get out there, we get the live looks, we talk with the players, interview them. You know, we're just constantly working, you know, and communicating back and forth. It almost seems like a full-time job at times, but we love it. We love what we do, and we're happy to be able to do this for you. So thank you. Thank you. Every single one of you who are out there, even the ones that are just listening to the podcast, trust me, you are doing so much by just doing that. We are very thankful. All right. So from all of us here at the Weekly Streamer, have yourselves a great day.